living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, hello, my friends. This is a live program on December 19th, 2022. I'm calling in from a remote location. I pray that your hearts are ready to embrace Jesus during this Advent and then beautiful Christmas Day. So let us begin with prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we entrust this program to your Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We pray that this program will touch many hearts, those who think they're channel surfing and they just happen to come across this program, or those who are tried and true listeners. We pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that our special guest today will touch the hearts of so many people. We also pray in a special way for those who are broken, those who are hurting, those who have no family at all this Christmas season. And we entrust them into your mother's loving heart. In Jesus' holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, so much is happening, right? So much is happening. And this is why I wanted to invite today Father Jason Kolzinski, because we're going to be talking about choosing a holy Christmas. It's a choice. It just doesn't dump on your head. You must choose a holy Christmas. And whether you're lonely and your family's divided and so many things are falling apart, you're fragmented in so many areas, the Lord Jesus wants you to have a very special and holy Christmas this year, my friends. So when Father Jason calls in, I want you to tell your friends, because he will be leading you through the steps in choosing a holy Christmas. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say. We all think we know the answers, but we don't, because Father Jason is so wise in so many ways, and he is the perfect person to be on the air with us today. And so I'm so grateful in praying about who is our guest today. It's usually my husband who says, oh, you have to call Father Jason. He's a great fan of Father Jason, as we all are, and he just enjoys listening to him on every broadcast. So also, I want you to remember, before we begin the interview process, this is the end of the year for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Many of us need to decide where to put our donations. If you're looking for a tax-deductible place to put your donation, I want you to consider In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. It's a tax-deductible donation. Yes, it is. It is amazing. 50-plus years, consistent years, not on and off the air, but Kathleen has to tell us the exact number of years In His Sign has been on the air, you know, starting in the steps, under the steps of Dominic Lettieri's home, and how it worked its way to this current studio, and how God has blessed this amazing apostolate that now is really international. People listen nationally and all over the world. So I'm asking you to really, even if it's a widow's mite, to think about this amazing apostolate going forward in 2023, how you can support and be, as Kathleen calls, one of her evangelizers, one of the members of her team. So please consider this as you end out the year and close out the year and you're getting ready for your taxes. This is an incredible means and way for you to end the year, and it will propel this Catholic apostolate in many new directions if someone is really, really philanthropic this holiday season. So, my friends, let's talk about who Father Jason is. You've heard him on the air with me over the last couple years. And as many of you know, he's known as the Relic Priest. He's the pastor of Holy Martyrs Church in Orland, O-R-E-L-N-D, Pennsylvania. Those of you who are listening from out of state probably never heard of Orland, Pennsylvania, but it's north of Philadelphia. He's the celebrant of the Latin Mass community of Philadelphia. He's also the national director of the Universal, this is a long term, Archconfraternity of St. Philomena. And many of you may have heard of him. He's the host of the radio broadcast called Aim High, which is on Radio Maria USA. So this priest has a lot of experience on radio, but most importantly, he loves to minister to God's people in so many ways. And every time we have him on the air, he's a fan favorite of many of our listeners. So I want you to know that he will be coming on the air today, and we're going to be talking about choosing a holy Christmas despite your loneliness, your brokenness, your family may be fragmented. It is possible, my friends, to have a holy Christmas. And he will help us through the details of how to really reach this, because it is possible. But again, it's our free will. It's our choice to have a holy Christmas, not to turn on the TV or even the radio and think the world is passing you by. But Jesus cares, and he wants you to have a special Christmas. Many of us have lost loved ones over the past year. It's not going to be easy to celebrate something that is so special without the loved ones at our table or opening a gift or celebrating with us. But the Lord wants us to celebrate. He truly, truly wants us to celebrate, and so does the Blessed Mother, and so does St. Joseph, by the way. St. Joseph. So be sure to tell your friends to tune in for our wonderful broadcast today with Father Jason Kolzinski. Also, I wanted to let you know that I will not be live on December 26th or January 2nd. It will be a rebroadcast. Again, it will be a rebroadcast, and I'm sure they will choose, WTMR and Maureen Powers will choose two good rebroadcasts for the December 26th and January 2nd, but I will not be live. And I just want you to know that from my heart and my family to yours, I wish you a very blessed and merry Christmas, even before Father Jason comes on the air. And again, as I did last week, I'm shouting out to someone who said she's been listening for years, coming in from work in a dangerous area to her home, and that's Jane. And if you're listening, Jane, our listeners are praying for your safety every time you go to work and come home from work. We pray for your safety as well as all of those who are coming home on trains and buses and airplanes to home this blessed week. So, my friend, you are covered in prayer, and we are with you, and we're hoping that someday in 2023, when we open the lines for our listeners to call in again, that you will call in from your car, and that we can share your journey of faith with all of our listeners in a very special way.
Father's on the line.
All right, Father Jason, welcome. You're live on the air.
Thank you. It's great to be with you again. We had a couple of issues in the past where I wasn't able to be with you on days that you had called, but here we are. So, what do you want to talk about today?
It's my husband, Father Jason. Every week, you need to call Father Jason. You need to call Father Jason. I think he needs to do a radio broadcast with you.
Oh gosh, there you go. Yeah, we go way back to all those days at the retreat house. When I was chaplain in high school. That's great. Wow.
So tell our listeners, one of the topics that really, really stepped in front of me this morning was that people need to choose a holy Christmas. It just doesn't pop into our front door. It doesn't pop through the radio or the TV. But if we have listeners right now who are lonely or fragmented and their families are divided, what are specific ways that you would suggest for them to choose a holy Christmas?
Well, I think, of course, number one is prayer. I mean, if there are issues in families, and there are in every family, you know, we need to pray for people to be converted. There are so many things going on in the world, so many reasons that families are divided. So many people choose, you know, things that are just very, you know, curious to some of us, I guess. And it becomes a real challenge to, you know, people say, well, when you're together, like, let's say Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, don't talk about religion or politics. And, of course, it's been suggested that that's why there's such a problem with, you know, religion and politics these days, because no one's talking about it. And so we just kind of bypass the difficult issues. You know, I guess if you hadn't been together in a while, it's not the time to bring it up. But I think prayer, especially, really, there's no instant fix. There's no way to say, okay, we're going to get together and we are all going to have, you know, we're all going to have a wonderful time and we're going to sit here until we do. I mean, well, you know, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But I think if we personally keep our mind focused on why we're celebrating these days, and especially these days of Advent in time of preparation, I think, you know, it's a lot easier to actually receive the graces that God wants to give us. And if we're worried about too many of the, you know, well, maybe we're not going to be together with people that we'd like to be. Maybe the relationships aren't what we would like them to be or what really maybe they ought to be. But sometimes you just, there's nothing you can do about that. You know, I think of, you know, we can think of St. Augustine and St. Monica. And Monica prayed for many, many years for her son to come around and be converted to the Lord. And finally he was. And, you know, sometimes even that doesn't happen. Sometimes, you know, you pray and pray and they think, well, isn't anyone listening? I'm praying for this conversion. I'm praying for my family to be healed. I'm praying for these things to happen. It's not happening. But the thing is that in God, everything happens in God's time. It's difficult for us to really, I guess, think in terms of, you know, really turning our lives over to God. And that's really what this season is about, though. It's a season of preparation for the Lord's return when he's going to come, and it's going to come as our judge. We need to be honest about that. And this season really is one of penance. And so, you know, we can offer our disappointments to the Lord, and offer our suffering to the Lord as an offering for you know, really for in expiation for our sins, for the sins of others. It is a very challenging time. Many people are you know, have a difficult time during the holidays. I mean, for many people, this is going to be the first holiday without a spouse or a mother or a child who has gone before us. It's very, very challenging when the world is, you know, playing Christmas carols and saying we should all be merry and bright, and you know, that's, you know, you're not feeling that at all. It's really difficult. But I think, you know, prayer, placing ourselves in the presence of the Lord, understanding why we're going through these days at all, would sort of really about the parties and the different celebrations, except for the celebration of the Lord's birth. And as we celebrate that, not merely as just another birthday, but as the Lord who comes as our Redeemer. And so I think that's, you know, I don't find a magical answer. It would be great, but you know, we can't really fix everything, and nor does God promise that everything's going to be perfect here on earth. But we strive, and we do our penance and our prayers, and hopefully one day we'll all be together in heaven. That's our prayer. And in the end, so many people, you know, realize this, so many people have strayed. So many people are on the wrong path. We're praying for them to return, and we may not see it. Sometimes we don't, you know, very often we don't get the answer that we desire. You know, I recently heard I believe it was a sister Mary Faustina. She's a sister of life, and she said, kind of jokingly, she said, well, if God gave us everything we wanted when we prayed, then we would all be married to someone that we went to grade school with. There were always those times. You know, if you had a crush on someone in your second grade class, you know, if God answered that prayer, God knew better. And so we have to trust that as we get older and the things we ask for maybe are more serious, maybe are very, you know, they're very, very important things that we're asking for, things that are actually very good. But we may not get them in our time. And so we need to accept the fact that God has a plan that's bigger than us. So.
You know, it's very interesting to hear how Jesus in the manger has been removed in nativity scenes across the United States in major cities, and how intimidated people are to recognize and proclaim Jesus as the Savior, even at Christmas time. I mean, it's growing and growing. And you can see people and families, I see it, people and families being afraid to mm-hmm. proclaim that this is about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's astonishing. And this is why I wanted to have you talk about that having a holy Christmas is a choice. It's not something that's just dumped on us.
Right. Yeah, it's not only Christmas though. It's so many things in our society are so, just not good. I mean, you mentioned that people are removing, in public places, you can't even have a nativity scene in some cities. And maybe worse than that was some years ago. I remember hearing that, one city they allowed the nativity scene, but then the Church of Satan said that we want our statue there too then. And so very frightening that so many things that are so really, really bad have become so acceptable. And God help you if you don't accept it. And, you'll be canceled. You'll be called intolerant. People won't talk to you. And I think that's a challenge, but it's something that we need to be prepared for. If someone doesn't want to talk to you because you can't accept something that's really wrong, certainly we need to, try to help them, to try to help them to grow in understanding, certainly in grace. But there's really, you can't force people to see things your way any more than, thank God, people of goodwill are not swayed by people who are not so, not so much on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so. It's really appalling to see how the rapid decline in terms of Christianity in homes and communities over the past few years. And it concerns me that children are not learning the true meaning of Christmas and that adults have thrown the whole concept and the whole liturgical season out the window. Mm-hmm. They, as you said, they don't want to recognize it, and it's impacting future generations. And again, what I'm returning to my original question is that are we choosing this or do we need to choose holiness at Christmas? So if someone's listening right now and they're alone, they're going through a divorce, they really have no family, walk them through. I know you had mentioned prayer, but are there specific ways to lighten the load of sadness right now?
Well, gee, if I had that answer, then I would,
You'd be rich.
If I could just give it, I always said, I wish there was like a big book of answers that I could turn to, but there's not.
Yeah.
First of all, everyone's different. So, we could say, there are probably places, certainly, there are in many parishes, there are many opportunities for people to get together. In our parish, we have a wonderful outreach program. We have a wonderful woman who coordinates it. So anyone, who is shut in or they'll receive, a call or a card or a visit. Our CCD classes just last week baked cookies and brought cookies to many of the people who are shut in, and even the people involved, the directors of it, I heard that they were in tears. It was so wonderful that the people were so happy for this little gift, something so simple. And so there are many things out there like that, I think. And maybe you need to tap into it. Maybe you need to reach out to your parish. I know, this same woman who's our outreach coordinator is our bereavement minister and has a monthly meeting of people who have lost someone. And she's, she's trained in this and she knows how to, not everybody can do this. I mean, it's not, it's certainly not the most joyous thing to do to deal with people's grief. It's very challenging and grief is difficult. But the fact is that as people of faith, we believe that there's something beyond. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to grieve. I mean, St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, do not grieve like those who have no hope, because we grieve. But there has to be that center of faith and hope that there is a future beyond this world, and that ideally, hopefully, in God's grace, in God's time, we may all be together again in the kingdom of heaven. But there's no magic way to do it. And sometimes people don't want to visit, or they don't want. There's sometimes people do want to be alone, and that's okay. But I think if you don't, there may be something in your community, in your parish, that is a way for you to connect with other people. And just I think we need to be praying and open to the possibility that there are other people out there who do want to help us, that want to reach out to us. You know, I know with this the bereavement group, the grief support group, you know, sometimes it's very good to hear that other people are suffering in the same way. And not in the sense that misery loves company, but, you know, even though it does, but in a sense that we can support one another and realize, you know, that's why support groups work, because you see, well, there are other people out there who are feeling exactly what I'm feeling, you know, but this may be expressed or experienced in a slightly different way. But when we all share, we can see, well, you know, we're not really alone. There are other people out there who are having a difficult time. And so, you know, I think that's a help. I don't know. It could be for some people. So,
well, Father Jason, I find it well. You know, I'm myself am going through a grieving process at the loss of my sister, in the past month. And so she was Miss Christmas. You know, everything was about Christmas, and she was the center of our family in terms of organizing Christmas carols and cookies and all the wonderful mm-hmm. things and all the memories. Mm-hmm. So sure. We have to pick up the slack for her in her memory to continue the legacy with our family, but still we're grieving. And some members of our family are reaching out to bereavement groups to ask, look, we can't get through this right now. Can you help us? So bereavement groups are incredibly wonderful to help people who have no idea how to grieve or how to get beyond the grief to have even a glimmer of hope again. And it's especially painful, as you said, at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, at Easter, during the holidays for families who are grieving. And we have so many listeners who are grieving, and the bereavement suggestion is so powerful, Father, because most parishes, right, now have bereavement groups, or at least in the area, in the counties, they host bereavement groups.
There are also wonderful things online. I don't know if many parishes are tapped into the formed online, and they have a new bereavement series that you can watch this on the internet if you have a membership. I know someone provides it for our parish, and our parishioners can just sign in and learn all sorts of things. I mean, it's the basis of one of our Thursday morning scripture studies. This program formed, which is really, really quite good. And so there are many, many things out there for people who want to kind of try to be lifted up a bit. But like I said, not everybody wants to do it in the same way. So we need to be patient with people. We need to be respectful of people's real desires. But I think in the end, you know, it's not, like I said, you know, we can't just kind of wallow in our sadness. We need to be able to look for, you know, the signs of hope, look for something that is going to be good, look for that person or relationship. I know so many good people who are, especially at this time, reaching out to people in need, to people who are experiencing a loss. And the loss isn't always through death, through the death of someone. It might be just a broken relationship. And, you know, and well, how do you fix that? Well, I don't know. You know, like I said, it's going to be different for everybody. And so everybody has different things that they're affected by, and we need to go on and pray, and if people get involved in one of these groups to help other people, let other people know, let your parish know if there's someone you know. I mean, very often, you know, we find out, you know, long after the fact at the parish here that, you know, something happened. Someone was in the hospital. Someone, you know, said, well, you know, I can't read minds. I don't know. If someone has to let me know. And so I think that's also an important thing, that, you know, reach out yourself and perhaps let your parish know if there's someone in your neighborhood, and maybe they're not even a parishioner, maybe there's a real good opportunity to help someone in a way that, you know, they may not even know is available to them. So.
I know in my parish, the St. Vincent de Paul Society is amazing. A lot of people who have lost loved ones are involved in helping to bring food to the shelter, those that are sheltered or homeless, and they found meaning through the St. Vincent de Paul Society. So I've seen the fruits of the amazing work that St. Vincent de Paul does, and that's at a whole other level. There's so many things that we can do, even if you're shy, if you feel like, if you're disabled, if you don't want to participate in something, there are so many outreaches for you not to be alone this Christmas, or not to spiritually be alone, that there is community in our parishes, and sometimes that gets lost, doesn't it? It just gets lost, and we have to be reminded of the beauty of the parish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And many parishes are wonderful. We have a wonderful St. Vincent de Paul Society here. For Thanksgiving, we had a food drive, and we provided baskets of food for families in need. We have our Advent giving trees, and the trees are decorated with ornaments that have a particular gift for a particular person on it. And you can either go and buy the gift and, you know, wrap it and bring it in, or you can give a gift card if you want. It's very, you know, something as simple as that. And so there are many different ways that, you know, we could help people who might be having a little bit of difficulty. And actually, the St. Vincent de Paul Society is a great way to do that. So, you know, if there is someone you know, then hook them up with your parish or the St. Vincent de Paul Society, because they know what they're doing. They're trained in this. It's not, you know, they're not just trying to do something. They actually have a plan, and they've got it. It's very organized. So.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, my friends, our guest today is Father Jason Kolzinski, the pastor of Holy Martyrs Parish in Orland, Pennsylvania, and he's the national director of the Universal Archconfraternity of St. Philomena, a celebrant of the Latin Mass community of Philadelphia, and, you know, about a 10-page bio on Father Jason, and I'm thrilled to have him with us today. We're talking about Christmas, so you may struggle with Christmas, how to choose holiness at Christmas, if you're going through a divorce, if a loved one just died, if you're feeling alone, you're family is fragmented, how to make it through. You know, we're not psychologists. We're not dealing with depression. We're just giving some suggestions and tips how to choose holiness, how to choose life and hope during this beautiful Advent season and Christmas. It is possible. And so after Christmas, I would love to hear stories with Father Jason of how you've taken this program and what you did as a result of it. That would mean so much to start off 2023, knowing that the program touched you in some way, motivated you to make a change in your life, to reach out to others in need. So I'm very, very happy that you're tuning in today, and I pray that this Advent season is blessed for you and your family. And if you don't have a family, that In His Sign Catholic Radio Network is your family, that everyone who's listening today is your family. And then Father Jason, you know, fan favorite on this network, will be praying for you. And we ask that you pray especially for those who are lonely today, Father, who are listening, who, you know, it's everything they can do just to tune in to the radio program. And I pray that they are motivated and inspired to make that baby step. You know, you're not pushed into the well. You have to make a baby step moving towards holiness.
Sure. Yeah. And that's really what the season of Advent is all about, trying to help us to grow in holiness, to slow down a bit and focus really on what is important in life, what is important for not only for spiritual life especially. And, you know, there are all those wonderful traditions associated with the season of Advent that try to help us to kind of really enter into it. And they're just some very tangible things as well that we can talk about. Or are we going to a break soon, or do we have time now?
Yep. Yes, we are. We're going to a break. You're really getting into this program. I'm very proud of you. So, my friends, Father, stay with us. My friends, stay with us. After the commercial break, we'll be back with Father Jason Kolzinski.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGrone, on Thy Will Be Done. And our special guest today is Father Jason Kolzinski, pastor of Holy Martyrs in Holy Martyrs Church in Orland, Pennsylvania, national director of the Universal Archconfraternity of St. Philomena. And he is the host of a very powerful radio program called Aim High on Radio Maria USA. And he's a celebrant of the Latin Mass community of Philadelphia. And he's just a extraordinary priest who loves his people, loves his parishioners. And we are so grateful for him to be with us today as we're talking about choosing a Holy Christmas in our fragmented families, in our loneliness, or when everything seems to be going great, how to keep our Christmas a very holy Christmas. Now, Father, I have to mention, you just opened some special center for relics. We cannot go any further without talking about what's happening with your relics, because you could touch many lives through this story.
Well, you know, it's been a kind of a passion of mine. I always tell people, right now there are about 180 some relics on display. There's a relic of the cross. There's a relic from the cloak of Saint Joseph, and many, many, many saints. Most recently, Saint Nicholas joined our collection, people ask, where did you get all these relics? And like, the answer is, I really don't know at this point, because they come from many places. But the first relic I ever saw was when I was in fourth grade, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And in Greenpoint there, the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth taught at St. Stanislaus School. And so in fourth grade, Sister Terence showed us the cross that they were. They still wear a very distinctive cross. Back in those days, there was a relic inside. And one day she showed us the relic inside the cross, and I thought, this is like amazing. There's a part of a saint right here. And later on, in sixth grade, I saw some more relics. One of the Vincentian priests showed us some more. And then it wasn't until we moved down to Pennsylvania finally and went to the St. John Newman Shrine in Philadelphia. And at that time, you could actually receive a relic, a first-class relic of St. John Newman at the shrine. At this point, it's much more difficult. They really, first-class relics are just not available to people, because too many have ended up in antique stores and in thrift shops, and you know, the children don't know what to do with them, and they end up, some get thrown away, I'm sure, and that's where I get some now. People say, well, my children have no idea what this is. They're not interested at all. So then I've received a lot more, and it's been on display. So the collection has grown some years ago. It was at the time of the World Meeting of Families when a mutual friend of ours, Deborah Binder, who has sadly gone to God in the last year or so, she was working at the St. Rita Shrine, and she asked if I could put the relics I had on display, and there were about 60 at that point. And in the end, it didn't happen because they couldn't protect them. But I did do a little trial run at the parish where I was living, and had these 60 relics set up. And I wrote wrote the biographies of the saints so people could read about the saint. And people just came, and they were impressed, and they said, you know, how do we bring this to our church? And I said, we can talk about that. And so the collection has traveled. It's been in many places in Philadelphia. It's been at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. It was at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa when Relevant Radio had a big conference there, and they were on display. And a young man brought them to his parish up in the Allentown Diocese for his Eagle Scout project. It's been everywhere. And then more recently, just this summer, we decided that there was a space. It was the former library of our former school here at Holy Martyrs, And I thought, why don't we, let's put them on display and leave them there. Because it's very challenging when you're setting up all these relics and you're trying to match them up with the biography. The people who, they're very wonderful, like wonderful people who really, they got into it. They knew what they were doing. But it's kind of a long process. And so we thought, now we can just, if we just open the door and let people see the relics, it's great. And so, if you'd like to see some of the pictures, you can go to our parish website at holymartyrschurch.org and see, it'll take you to go look at there's a flyer there. So we've had a couple of days where the relic exhibit was open. It's been set up like a bit like a chapel at this point. And people come, and it's always very reverent, and people come to pray with the saints. And we're hoping that groups will come. Right now, we have the interest of a couple of parishes who want to bring a group, one during Lent and one probably before. Someone, a priest, just contacted me on Facebook. So, if anyone's interested in that, if we want to set up a group, we could have a talk. I could tell my story about how I came to all these relics. At this point, people have given them to me sometimes, 20 and 30 at a time when they've had access to them. At the very first exhibit, a woman told me that she had a box of relics that a priest had given her to take care of when he went to the missions. And unfortunately, he died there, and he didn't come back. And so she's had this box of relics, and she gave me this entire box of relics. And then I have to identify them and then write the story and include them in the exhibit. Another gentleman saw the exhibit, the exposition, I call it, not exhibit, because it's not like an art exhibit, but it really is a place to come and pray. And he saw it on Facebook that we were having this exposition, and he contacted me. And his opening line was, "Are you the relic priest?" And I thought, well, I'm not that old. But so he was very kind, and he said he knew a priest in Rome who had connections with the Carmelites and the Passionists, and he had about 25 or 30 relics that he could send me, and he did. Right? They came with their documents from the Vatican, and so they all became part of the exposition. And so right now, I think we're at about 100 and maybe close to 185 relics on display that are in this little chapel that we set up. And so we're looking forward to people coming and joining us, and maybe coming for Mass in the morning, spending the day. Just praying, because there's a lot to see and a lot to read, and so it really does take a while to go through. So, like I said, if anyone's interested, check out my parish website, holymartyrschurch.org, or you can reach me at holymartyrspastor@outlook.com, and there's we can talk about maybe a visit. Sometimes if there's a few people, I can take them down now that it's set up permanently. So it's been very people have been very impressed, and they found it very a nice time to pray, a nice quiet time. But it's something, I've always been fascinated that, people go and visit tombs, even of their loved ones. I said I've never been to most of these the shrines associated with these saints, but I've brought them here, so I've never been to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or to the place of Calvary. But those relics are here, and so people can come and pray with those very relics. So it's been a very tangible thing. Like I said, there are so many Advent traditions too that make the passing of the time, make the preparation very tangible, like the Advent calendar, the Advent wreath. And I think relics are another way that people can really just experience the faith in a more tangible way. It's really it's quite wonderful. I mean, I've always like I said, been fascinated. So. And just as a quick catechesis, so there are three classes of relics. The veneration of relics is an ancient custom in the Church. We read in the Scriptures that people would remember the woman in the Scriptures that just wanted to touch the tassel, wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak, and she was healed. And so people find them very helpful to pray. But there are three types of relics. First class, it would be the body of a saint, like you might go to the St. John Newman Shrine and see his remains in an image. Not that you don't really see him there. His remains are in an image, or any part of that. So the relic that I first class relic that I received was at that shrine, and so that would be a first class relic. A second class relic would be something that was used by a saint, that a book, or like for example, I have a Oh, I have a piece of the altar cloth that was used by St. John Paul when he was in Philadelphia. That's a second-class relic. And then a third-class relic is something that was touched to, it was blessed, a blessed cloth, say, that's touched to the first-class relic or the second-class relic or even another third-class relic. And it's made actual physical contact with, you know, with these sacred items. And so there are all of those things. And I have actually have a number now of third-class relic prayer cards available at the exposition. So if you're interested, right now very popular is the third-class relic touched to the relic of the manger where Jesus was laid in the Church of the Nativity. And also, of course, St. Nicholas, very popular at this time of year. So if you'd like to, like I said, you can check out my website, and if you're interested, you know, contact us, or if you'd like to plan a visit, or, you know, if you're coming for Mass sometime, maybe, you know, I might have a few minutes to let you into the chapel there. So you should come and see
Father,
it, man.
I'm just wondering if you're open the week of the 26th after Christmas for families to make a visit up to your parish
I won't be here. I would be here the Thursday and probably Friday that week, Saturday. I mean, if groups came and set it up and wanted to come, maybe I could, you know, open it after Mass in the morning or on after the Sunday Masses. I mean, anything's possible at this point. We're working, we're trying to figure out how we can, like, best serve people and get, you know, people to come and to visit the relics. Someone recently told me that it's the second largest collection in the Archdiocese, but I have no idea if that's true. I don't know. And I don't know who has the first largest collection. So, interesting. So, but that would be...
Well,
would
I know
be
there's
great
a large collection
see,
in Pittsburgh.
Is it?
I think
is
it's
it in the past,
largest
but actually
in the country, and I'm not sure
the
name of the church, but there is a huge
and
collection
them.
Of relics
so,
in Pittsburgh.
More
I used to know this. It was
more
a trivia thing,
see.
A Catholic trivia question. But not in the Archdiocese. I only know of your collection. I'm not aware of any other exposition of relics in the Archdiocese.
Yeah. Now at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, they've installed cabinets all around their lower chapel, and there are many, many relics there as well. It's very, very, very beautiful. In fact, one of the priests asked me if I would leave my collection to the shrine. So, yeah.
Oh,
hopefully not too
well,
soon.
If you're just tuning in, my friends, this is Father Jason Kozinski, pastor of Holy Martyrs Church in Orland, Pennsylvania. We're talking about choosing Christmas, a holy Christmas. If you're feeling fragmented or lonely, disjointed, out of touch with the church, different ways that you can reach back and have a glimmer of hope and a glimmer of peace in your life during the remainder of this Advent season and Christmas. And Father's just discussing his relic collection that he now offers for exposition, over 185 relics. And, you know, if you have the opportunity, no matter if you're listening across the country or across the world, you know, contact Father through his website, and perhaps he can give you, you know, a little tour, and you could pray where the relics are. It would be very special, and especially St. Nicholas. Can you imagine? I have never seen a relic of St. Nicholas. Where did you get this one?
Oh, you know, I can never reveal all my sources.
Well, they're out.
I mean, there are relics out there. Like I said, many people give them to me, and they're you know, you can unfortunately, like I said, find them in antique shops, and actually, someone gave me one, and I forget which one. Oh, Frederick Jansoon. I'd never heard of him, but they said they found it at a flea market, and I thought, well, there was a first class relic of a saint that ended up at a flea market. It's unfortunate, but
well, that's sad because people don't realize what they have
well, they
in their possession, and
exactly.
A lot of times they're passed down through estate sales and things like that.
Exactly,
and people just buy them up and they have no idea.
Exactly.
So
we encourage
our listeners: if you have any relics that you don't want, contact Father Jason. Your
always
relic would have a wonderful home.
Yep,
at Holy Martyrs
add.
Parish in Orland, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly frightening to think that someone would have them at a flea market or an antique shop, but people just simply don't understand.
There are all sorts of things out there, you know. I mean,
this is a catechesis we need you to help us with So people who have these treasures in their homes or passed down through the generations would recognize what they have in their homes.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's now it's very difficult. You know, they're not available to individuals as a rule, relics, because they do end up in the trash or in a thrift shop, which is not very respectful. But so yeah, if anybody would like to is interested, or in even if getting a third class relic prayer card that I prepare here, you can contact me and if you look at the website, you'll see a number of pictures of the exposition itself, and right now you can see what cards are actually available. There are, I think right now we have 42 different saints available, so in a third class prayer card. So third class, the third class, sometimes second class, because you can actually get a relic of maybe the cassock of St. John Paul. I know that his postulator of his cause has they're available there, but first class not so easy to find. So,
So Father, our listeners, those who are just tuning in, getting out of work, driving down the highway, what is your remedy? I know it's a quick synopsis. Your remedy for those not feeling, quote, in the Christmas spirit this year, what would you suggest? What is the Father Jason Kozinski suggestion to embrace the, quote, Christmas spirit, end quote, this year?
And doing your best to reach out, find something that's out there that you can maybe be with other people, that you don't have to be alone. But also, I think part of the grieving process is some, alone time in prayer, but also everyone goes through grieving differently. So there's no one way that is the right way to do it. Some people think, well, this person, they're grieving, they're doing these things. Well, that doesn't mean that you're going to be ready to do it today. So we need to be patient with ourselves and patient with the loved ones that who have lost someone. So I think that's important. But there's no magic fix, and grieving is a natural process. And you need to be able to do it. So people say, well, you should just snap out of it. Well, no, you it doesn't work that way. If it did, it'd be much simpler. But you can't. So, but I think there are many things and many of the symbols of Advent too try to help us to encourage us to prepare for the coming of the Lord. To actually, it takes some work to be joyful, even in the best of times. It takes a bit of work to really get into with the real spirit of the season, because there's so many. The secular world has pretty much taken over. It's all about finding the most wonderful gift, or you have to find the latest of this or that, and those things really aren't going to make us happy in the end. We see how many people you go through things in your house, think, well, what was I thinking? What did I need this for? And I often say that all of those gifts that are marked batteries not included should really say happiness not included, because we think we're going to reach out, and we're always looking for that one thing that's going to be wonderfully just successful in making us happy. And I think it's the world is, our lives are a lot deeper than that. So
Father Jason, would you pray with our listeners right now, and then of course your priestly blessing for a blessed remainder of Advent and Christmas, but a very special prayer from your heart for our listeners?
Well, I am, very important prayer to me, and it might be familiar to your listeners, is the St. Andrew Christmas Novena.
Yes.
And if you're familiar with that, it's traditionally prayed, 15 times a day. I'm sure that, if you don't make it to 15, I'm sure that God is still pleased. But it's a wonderful prayer. It's a tradition. And, well, strangely, the novena begins on the Feast of St. Andrew on November 30th and goes up until Christmas Eve. So a novena is normally 9 days. And this is, of course, much longer. But it is called the St. Andrew Christmas Novena. And it is prayed with a particular intention in mind. And so you would pray for something. And, the hope is that if you are faithful in praying this prayer, not that it's magic. I mean, the people get that idea that, if I pray this prayer, 5 times every day, or, and then there's some other strange novenas where, you pray this prayer and then you leave 10 copies in your church, and then it's just that God doesn't work that way. God is not a vending machine. But, you know, ideally, so in the prayer itself, it says that, you know, if we pray this prayer, make a good preparation of Advent, that on Christmas, your prayer will be, you know, will be granted in some way. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes the answer is no, we don't want to hear that. But so if whether or not you're familiar with this prayer, let's pray it now before the blessing, the St. Andrew Christmas Novena. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Mm. Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in the piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, I beseech thee, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. And may God teach us to judge wisely the things of this earth, and to long for, and to one day attain the things of heaven. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Father Jason. We wish you a blessed and Merry Christmas to you and your family and your parishioners. And we hope to be together again in 2023 for some more interesting, motivating, and inspirational radio broadcasts. So thank you so much for being with us, and Merry Christmas to
you. You're welcome. God bless you. Many blessings to you and all your listeners. And we'll talk in the new year.
All right. God bless you, Father.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, my friends, I hope that you were inspired through the beautiful time with Father Jason Kolzinski. And again, if you want to get in touch with him, he's the pastor of Holy Martyrs Church in Orland, O-R-E-L-A-N-D, Pennsylvania, which is north of Philadelphia. And he is the national director and the universal arch of the Universal Arch Confraternity of St. Philomena. So we will be doing a broadcast in 2023 on St. Philomena, some updates of what's really happening with St. Philomena as well. And I encourage you to perhaps bring your family up to Holy Martyrs Church to see this amazing exposition of the relics, 185, I believe he said, relics, including the relic of St. Nicholas, up at his parish. So it's a wonderful catechesis for you and your family, or perhaps your youth group or your church, and just put a load of people in your car, your minivan, and let Father know you're coming to make sure he's there, and go up and visit this exposition and pray. It's a wonderful opportunity to pray. I know Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and he has the little flower, and John Newman, and can you imagine 185 relics in one place? Talk about a prayer power. And Father Jason loves to tell the story, and he loves to share the prayer power of all these saints. And he certainly has been chosen probably from St. Philomena, who has her hand on him in a very special way. So I encourage you, and I also encourage you, my friends, to really attend the Sacrament of Reconciliation in your parish before Christmas. A lot of parishes are having multiple parish celebrations where an Advent service where they have four or five priests available for confession. Please use this time to go to confession. Perhaps it's been a week, a year, 10 years. It's never too late to prepare your heart for Christmas this year. If you want your heart to explode with joy in the midst of grief, in the midst of fragmentation, in the midst of suffering, the Sacrament of Reconciliation is your healing balm, B-A-L-M, for you and your family in preparing for a blessed and holy Christmas. And, of course, to receive the Holy Eucharist on Christmas is the most special time. So I highly encourage you, and also to pray the Holy Rosary in preparation for Christmas this year. There are so many beautiful sacramentals in our church to prepare you. And Father Jason touched on so many different aspects of preparing for Christmas and reaching out to maybe bake cookies for a neighbor who really has been sick or hasn't been able to get out of the house, to call the St. Vincent de Paul Society, They're just the bereavement groups for those who are grieving. There are so many ways that you can reach out to embrace the Christmas spirit this year, which is Christ's spirit, to make your Christmas special. And if you're feeling depressed, many, many people experience depression during this time of the year. When you reach out to someone else, when you reach out to bless that someone else, even if you feel horrible, to perhaps bake those cookies or bring an apple pie to someone else in need, or to buy a pair of socks for a homeless shelter. This is the Christmas spirit that we need to embrace. This is the Christmas spirit that we need to embrace. Or call the stranger, or call the loved one that you haven't spoken to in years. Simply say, Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I will be praying for you. So many ways to make and to choose a very holy Christmas this year. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we will not be live on December 26th and January 2nd. It'll be a rebroadcast. Kathleen McCarthy will be live tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m., the rest of the broadcasters. So much is happening in this apostolate, and I ask that you please, please, as a Christmas gift to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, to consider a year-end donation to make this apostolate forever, because it's 50-plus consecutive years with no one receiving a salary, no broadcasters, and only one paid employee. So I ask that from the kindness of your heart, whether it's a dollar, $10, $100, or $1 million, please consider making this apostolate viable in 2023. It would mean so much to all the people who now listen around the world from all different countries, who listen through the internet, who listen through Alexa and Google, iHeart, Odyssey, and of course, all the people who are in range of WTMR 800 AM radio. You can't get a better Christmas gift than this powerful, powerful radio network. So from my family to yours, I pray in a special way for you, for those of you who are listening, for those of you who are hurting right now, who are yearning for a special Christmas for your family. I pray the Lord Jesus and our Blessed Mother will touch your family in a very special way. And I pray that our Blessed Mother reaches down across your home, across all the generations of your family that may gather together or may not gather together. I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit and Our Lady's intervention, and of course, St. Joseph, for all of you who are listening today, that this is one special Christmas, that it is unlike any other, that you know that Jesus is in charge, that you know that He has a plan for your life and a plan for this world. He wants peace to reign in this world. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, Jesus is in charge, and He has a great plan for all of us. So let us rejoice together as an In His Sign Catholic Radio Network family. Let us reign together in bringing in 2023 and rejoicing for all the hardships and the good things of 2022. And let us remember that it is important for us to spread the word of the Lord, to preach the gospel through actions, not just words, but through our actions. And so I ask that you pray for me, that I will continue to serve the Lord as He has asked me to serve Him, and of course, for all this radio apostolate. So Merry Christmas, my friends, and God bless you. See you in 2023.
Alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.